Well, hello and welcome to Inverticast, the podcast where we intentionally talk about bugs. I am Leah from Tarantulia, and of course you know my co-host Simon from the Mantis Garden. Hello, Simon.
Hello, chaps.
Okay, so today our topic is cockroaches. So hopefully we can dispel a few myths about them and maybe a little... They're one of the least liked insect, I think, in the invert world. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think
we don't suffer with them over here like you know, like a lot of countries do, because we're not a tropical country, we're being temperate. But I've heard down south that you can get them here and there now and again, but mm-hmm. very rarely have them here. But as you know, my wife's from Africa,
mm-hmm.
and also Portugal, and she always complaining when she sees my cockroaches. She's like, oh my god, they're disgusting. So she hates them with a passion. And to me, they're not something I've ever really seen in the wild. In fact, I've never seen a wild cockroach in the UK. So
wow, you're lucky. I spent 2 years in Okinawa and cockroaches were massive and they were everywhere. So yeah, I've definitely seen my fair share of cockroaches. Also, you know, California, there's plenty of cockroaches. Florida, they're all over the place. So I mean, they're pretty common, especially the pest. You know, there are pest species that, you know, live here in the States and everything. So we're gonna talk about it. We're gonna get into it because there are more to cockroaches than just, you know, getting into your food cabinets and all that stuff. So we'll get into some interesting facts here in the States. Actually, I believe it's like 30 something percent of people actually develop allergies to cockroaches, from their castings and whatnot, and especially the pest species. So that's an interesting thing there. But they also, like, they can leave kind of a bad odor, and, you know, but these guys, cockroaches are actually really, really fascinating, because of what they do, kind of how they survive, all that stuff. So let's get into it. So cockroaches are actually in the order of Blattodea, and there are 4,600 species, so 4,600 species worldwide. Most of them live in, you know, like tropical and kind of warm, moisture-bound kind of areas in the wild. Mild climates, but you can pretty much find a cockroach anywhere. And so they are also among the most primitive living winged insects. So they're the oldest recorded fossil, I believe, was 320 million years old. So these guys have predated us. They've predated pretty much almost anything on Earth at this moment, except maybe crocodiles. And you know what I mean? So the word cockroach is actually a corruption of the Spanish word cucaracha. So there you go.
thanks. That's brilliant. I've got that song in my head now.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha.
Yeah. Oh god, that's stuck. That's stuck.
I mean, you can hear it around here. They dance to it too. They put the sombrero down on the ground and then they dance around the sombrero. Yeah, it's good. It's fun times. Other species that are also in the Blattodea order is termites. So the closest like relative to cockroaches is going to be a termite, which is really kind of interesting. I didn't know that. So that was a fun little fact for me. And so these guys, they have compound eyes and they have well-developed sight. So when you see a cockroach, it sees you too. and so the cave dwelling species are basically the only ones that don't have very good eyesight. And I know you said you had some cave.
Yes, you carry on talking because, you know, for anybody who's watching on YouTube, I'll grab one out. You'll be able to see it.
If we get, yeah, I mean, I know they're little, but
They're quite big.
cool.
Oh, those are headlight roaches.
So they typically have a flat, oval-shaped body, and they're usually brown or black in color, but there are some species that are green, and others that feature like really distinct, pretty markings. Oh yeah, a little cave. Look at that.
They're not little. Trust me, they're not little. Have you seen my hand there?
No, that's cool.
They're quite large.
Yeah,
Quite a large.
absolutely. So for everybody watching and everyone
Nearly a
listening,
large roach. But
that's
no,
a
I can't
quick
see
little
him.
guy. What a
But
wow.
yeah, he is.
They're
So
quick.
I'm going to put it back now because he's really.
Yeah, right. So
Yeah.
the quick cave dwelling species are really cool. They actually rely really heavily on their antennae, which is also how they smell and like hear, and they can feel vibrations through those antennae. So that's pretty interesting. So males have two pairs of wings, and females don't have wings at all, or they have vestigial wings or useless wings, essentially. All species have a mutualistic bacterium that lives within the insect's fat cells and is thought to help regulate purine metabolism and helps them to survive in nitrogen-rich environments or poor diets. And all cockroaches are active at night. So they're nocturnal. That's why, if you're out scrounging in your kitchen in the middle of the night looking for some food and you happen to turn the light on and a bunch of cockroaches scatter, that's why. They prefer the dark.
That sounds horrifying.
Yeah, right?
That sounds like I can't imagine
I've seen
turning
it
it on.
happen. It's a
Oh.
thing.
I have seen some big roaches abroad when because as you know, I've worked in Asia and Southeast Asia,
Right.
the Middle East and whatnot, and I've seen like roaches, but nothing to that extent where they're
Yeah,
scattering
no.
and that, so it's exciting for me if I see something like that.
Oh yeah, no, I mean
I want to go and cuddle them,
yeah. I mean, I've seen them like that in California. When I lived in California, I was in San Diego. Thankfully not in my home, but again, see, you can hear the detest in my in what I'm saying about cockroaches, because they are, I mean, they do come with that stigma that they're, dirty creatures and they're awful and they carry diseases and stuff like that, which is mostly true. Especially of the pest species that we consider pests, like the I believe they're called the American brown cockroach. I have it in here. I have it in my notes. And so those guys, they're seen as a pest, and they're a very famous
That's one on
insect.
our list.
Say what?
That's one on our list. The ones we've got over here seem to be from you.
Oh yeah, I believe it. I believe
The
it for
American
sure.
cockroach and the German cockroach, right? They seem to be,
Yep.
from somewhere else. They're not ours, so to speak. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
No, you're good. I appreciate it. Okay, so pest species often damage more than they consume, or like replace. And they often emit a bad odor. Their diet includes both plant and animal products, food, paper, clothing, books, dead insects, and especially bed bugs. So here we go. We're dispelling a quick little myth. I don't think that cockroaches are quite as detested as much as bed bugs are. So if you do have a cockroach around, guess what? He wants to eat the bed bugs. So there is a benefit to having cockroaches. But pest species are known to spread dysentery, E. coli, salmonella, and other types of food poisoning like diseases. The vast majority of roaches are actually important members of their ecosystems. So the couple of pest species that most people think are around and whatnot, like, yeah, okay, they're pests and whatnot, and they do carry some diseases, but they do also have some serious benefits. They play a key role in food webs and nutrient cycling. So many frogs, lizards, birds, and small mammals rely on cockroaches as a food source. So, again, everything has a purpose. Now I'll get into kind of the families of cockroaches. So we got the Blattodea, which contains pretty much most common household roaches, like the American cockroach, which is the Periplantae americana. They're actually native to Africa and the Mid East, which is really interesting. So they're not actually American at all. They were hitchhikers at one point, and that's how they got here. And that's something that is really, really common with cockroaches. They are so incredibly resilient that, you know, they can survive for a long time just on a ship somewhere, and you know, and then they find themselves in a totally different climate, but they're resilient. They survive. Yeah. So, yeah. There's a lot of like spiritual and symbolistic meaning behind that they are resilient, they're durable, they prevail. So if, you know, if you happen to be dreaming about a cockroach, that's probably wise, because it's telling you to be resilient, to be persistent, continue on, move forward, you know.
Or you've just fed like 10 boxes of them.
Yeah, right.
That, I sometimes dream about cockroaches. I think that's more likely the reason.
Yeah, I believe it. Because they
have like 11 species here.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I think it's definitely that's the reason why.
Yeah, I believe it. I mean, they like I said, they're very durable. They, you know, they're survivors of the insect world. So another cool fact about them is they did find that cockroaches actually, and this is true for most species, are they can withstand some exposure to radiation. So not a ton, but they can definitely like survive exposure to radiation.
Number one, yeah, they do not survive a nuclear bomb. Yeah,
no, they won't survive that. But they'll survive, you know, parts of the radius.
Yeah.
The fallout.
Some radiation they can survive, yeah. But
yeah. Yeah.
The common myth is that the only thing that will survive if we have a nuclear war would be cockroaches, and that's just rubbish.
Yeah, it's not entirely true.
No.
But nah. It's pretty interesting that they can survive radiation, because I don't think there are many other insect species that can. Well, so that's kind of a fascinating thing. Okay, so then we've also got the Oriental cockroach, and that's the one of it. And I'm sorry for using Oriental. I know that's really not the best word for that, but the scientific name for these guys is Blatta orientalis, which is great because they're considered one of the most notable. Yep.
That's what it sounds like, though.
Orientalis, so, yeah. I know, right? Yeah. I love the scientific words. But they're considered one of the most notorious pests. So, and I will say that so I have a funny story. While I was in Okinawa, I was up in the middle of the night. I think I was doing something in my closet. I think I was up very early in the morning getting ready for work. And I was in my closet, you know, getting my camos and getting my boots and everything ready, right? And I was kind of crouched, and then I leaned forward, and then when I came back, there was something under my heel, and I crushed it, and I thought it was a grape. Well, when I turned the light on, it was a big old roach. And so I legit stepped on a cockroach with my bare feet. It was not the most fun experience. It was really kind of ew. It was just ew.
They explode, don't they? Some roaches are so soft-bodied when you grab them, like, especially grab them with tongs or tweezers. They just explode out of their abdomen, and it's disgusting.
Yeah, it's that's literally what happened. It was
and then run off. You know?
Yeah, it was awful.
That's the amazing part. I've had I give them the mantis. I don't know why I'm pointing out, you can't see it, but I've got a mantis here next to me. And like, I'd give them roaches before, and they've eaten the entire head and halfway down the body, so there's only like four legs left, and then they've dropped them by accident, and it's run off. It's literally run away with no head and no pronotum, no front half of the body.
Yeah,
and it's just running around in circles, like just the back end of it, just running around in circles, which obviously they catch and eat. So
yeah, that's, you know,
amazing how we can, you know, because of their physiology and the way their body's designed. I think their insect body is designed better than the human body.
I think so too, honestly.
It really is. If you look deep into it, it really is. I mean, especially like the way they breathe, the way they supply oxygen to each organ. It's a much more sensible organization of it. And that's probably why a lot of them haven't changed.
Yeah, I think so too.
We are evolving. We are changing.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they haven't changed. Like,
not much.
They haven't changed. But so many years, like 300 million years, they're still the same thing.
Because
they think, hey, I'm perfect. You know?
Well, they're efficient. I mean, their bodies work exactly how they're supposed to. They do exactly what they're meant to do, and why change it if it's not broken, right?
Yeah, and you know, sort of the they can't get because of the way the body works.
Yeah,
we're susceptible to so many other things, diseases and bacteria and all sorts of things because of the way our body works. So I want to come back as an insect. Yeah.
Cool.
I've not lived a long time though. Not one of them.
Yeah, right.
Not a mayfly or anything. No.
Okay, so the next family that I have on my list here is the Bidobidae, which is the German cockroach, or the one that we consider a pest cockroach here in the States, and obviously they're in the UK as well. They are the Platella Germanica. That's these scientific words. Sorry. They're often carried into homes in like grocery bags or boxes. Again, that hitchhiker aspect of them. We also have the brown banded cockroach or the Sepilum longipalpa. And they resemble the German cockroach quite a bit, but they are a little bit smaller. So there's that. And then, I'm going to get into the giant cockroaches. So the Blaberidae, giant cockroaches. They're a large family of large cockroaches. The most famous is the Madagascar hissing cockroach, which is the Grampadomidae portentosa. And I actually have, let me see here. Hopefully I don't like perturb it too much, but I have little hissing cockroaches right here. To show everybody. Oh, you got one.
In my hand, yeah.
Yay. Don't hiss at me yet. I want you to hiss on. Oh, did you hear that?
I didn't.
Okay. I want them to hiss on the microphone. Oh, goodness. Okay. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
There
I'm
it is.
It as well.
So, that is this guy. This guy right here, this is a male, and you can tell that he's a male because he has these two little horn-looking deals on the top of his head. So, but this is a Madagascar hissing cockroach. This one is beautiful, and the hissing noise that they make is actually produced by their antenna, by these little deals right here, which is really interesting. So they're not actually, or like they, as far as I know, they push air through something and then it vibrates and it makes that noise. So there's a little Madagascar hissing cockroach for you. Don't fall, buddy. I'm holding you. yeah.
As a female.
Yeah, there you go. And the females have a more flat, rounded kind of head. But as you can see, these guys, they definitely fit the description of what a cockroach looks like. They have that round oval body. They're flat, you know, they're compact little tiny eyes, and they have six legs. These guys have really like kind of thorny, hairy legs, which I actually really like about them. I think they're really kind of cute. I know
Do you
that
know
sounds weird.
the cave roach?
No, I
I
don't have any
when I
cave
put
roaches, but you can see
no
his little head
the
right
cave
here.
roach earlier actually cut me
What?
with its the spines on its legs. It cut me on the
Yeah, and
my finger,
I
and
think
my
they
finger's
use.
already swelled up there.
Oh my goodness, you poor
So
thing.
it's just saying,
Oh.
like, be careful if you pick up the cave roach. They do have sharp back legs. They've got really like hooks on them, so
And that,
yeah,
well,
be
and that
careful with
helps
it.
them climb around things, doesn't it? It helps them to
Yeah.
like really grip their surroundings, really
Oh
grip.
God, it's so grippy. If you pick one up, like on your on the palm of your hand, it's okay, but I'll probably just run off. But they're okay. But because I held it in the middle, it kicked. So it you know, so be careful with, don't grab them. Just let them crawl onto your hand like most arthropods actually.
Yeah,
But yeah,
absolutely.
that was my own fault. So I can't blame the roach. But you
Let's
know.
see. Yeah, never blame the roach. I never blame. So I've got a
No.
couple of them here. Check them out. They're just kind of chilling on the car ground here. They're really cute. Let me see. I can probably make them. Yep.
That's not fair. You can hear yours better than mine. I had mine sat on the microphone and I was stroking it and it was hissing. I couldn't hear it. So.
I don't like to do it to them too much because after a while they lose their hissing ability. I mean they regain it of course in time, but like they're only good for a couple of hisses. So
Yeah. I think
but
they just get used to you, don't they? I think, oh, you're just annoying now. It's just
yeah, right? They you probably are. Just it's just an annoyance to them, you know. But these guys, you know, and I found with especially with the hissing cockroaches and like most of the other species that aren't like household pests, they're actually really clean animals. They're not gross
oh,
at
no.
all. Like, you know, they're harmless mostly. Like they really don't bite or anything. It's you know, they're not horrible creatures. They're really kind of cool.
There is one that is nasty and it does bite, which
Ooh,
is the lobster roach.
lobster roach.
Lobster
Oh,
roaches are evil.
I
They're evil.
missed that one in my research. How sad.
Well, one sec.
Oh, sweet. I think Simon has a cool lobster roach to show us, and so I'm
I have.
excited.
They're only quite small. This one's got more
Really?
legs in there. Let me grab his wings so he.
How funny. I thought, you know, when you said lobster roach, I thought it was going to be large.
I don't know. No,
For everybody
that's a quite small
listening.
roach. But I mean, it's a female, so this is actually smaller. It's just the first one I grabbed.
Yeah, it's only about a, what, like an inch?
Now, if you give this to a mantis or a tarantula, there's a good chance it'll bite back.
Wow.
In a really bad way, so I try and avoid using these. These are pretty
Yeah.
much the reptile feeders, I would say.
Okay.
But
Not
yeah,
recommended for
they
feeders.
are evil.
They are evil. Okay.
And I've got about 1,000 of them in this box next to me. So
Nice.
awful things.
But as you can see, I mean, my hand that I had the roach in, like, it's clean.
Yes.
So, you know, there's no grossness from these guys. And I really like keeping hissing roaches as pets. I want to get some of those really pretty emerald. There's some emerald roaches that are really pretty and domino roaches. Okay, so we'll get into that. So as I said, the most famous of the giant cockroaches is the Madagascar hissing cockroach. But they reach, you know, 2 to 3 inches long, which obviously you guys could see that. For those who were listening, couldn't really see that. But yeah, they're quite a large species, and they have a kind of a pretty, like they go from black to like brown, and then they lighten up all the way down their body until they're like an orange color. And they're kind of cool. I think they're really cool. And then you got the emerald cockroach, which is the Corydoras magnifica. And then we've got giant burrowing roaches, the Macropanisia rhinoceros. Ooh, what's that one?
That's a domino.
Ah, cool. Yes, domino roaches. So if you guys can't see, Simon is holding up a little domino cockroach. And these guys are really cool because they're round and they are mostly black, but then they've got little white markings on their outer shell that look like dominoes.
They're quite fast when they want to be, but they'll generally sit in your hand like that one.
Sure. They're pretty docile. That's cool.
They're a bit of a strange one as far as roaches are concerned, keeping them.
They're really interesting. Most people do like to keep them as pets.
I wouldn't feed them. They're too cute. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's only lobsters and red runners that I feed to the mantis because the rest of them are too cute.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So the giant burrowing roach is actually from Australia, and it's one of the heaviest species on Earth. It weighs about 30 grams, so an ounce, which doesn't sound like a lot to us, but when it comes to the insect world, 1 ounce, that's pretty heavy. And of course, it's Australia, so everything is bigger and scarier and more venomous, so...
well, as a comparison, can you see this? Can you?
This guy, there he is.
Quite a big mantis. That's quite a big mantis.
Yeah.
That weighs approximately 1 gram.
Wow.
So you can imagine how big your cockroach is at 30 grams.
Right. Yeah. That's amazing. Okay, so now we have 40 genera of sand cockroaches, which is the Corydidae family. They are, if you've ever seen the question mark cockroach, they belong in this family. So they're Oligridinae. Sorry, I'm butchering these words. the domino roach that we just saw, they are also part of this family. They live in the sand. So I believe these are desert dwelling roaches. So these guys you will find in the deserts throughout the world. One that is really interesting that I was really happy to find was it's specifically called the desert cockroach or the Archivaga investigata. And they live in the Colorado sand dunes and Southern California. So these guys are only found in the sand dunes of Colorado. And if you know anything about Colorado, we have a very kind of tight little pocket of sand dunes that is right on the other side of the Monte Cristo mountains, or like the San Jose Valley. And it's really interesting because when you think of Colorado, everybody thinks of big, tall mountains and, you know, winter and snow and evergreen trees and everything like that. But yeah, we do have sand dunes, and we also have the tallest sand dune in the entire nation right here in Colorado. So it's no wonder that there are desert cockroaches that live in those sand dunes, and they're native. And I thought that was just a really cool, really cool little topic there, because I'm from Colorado. What do you got, Simon? What do you got?
I've got one that I believe is in the same family. I'm not going to swear to it, but I believe it's in the same family as the question mark roach.
Cool.
If you'll stay still, I find it an extremely pretty roach. This is a headlight roach. So,
ooh, a headlight roach.
Very, very pretty. Yellow and black stripes, and you've got the orange. Orange up there.
Oh yeah, okay. They are pretty.
They really are pretty. I'm sorry, but it's hard for me to get him in camera because he's a bit quick.
Yeah, he's just running. Look at that. Very, very quick. How cool.
He stopped. There you go.
Yeah.
Try and Getting closer. What am I doing? There we go.
Yeah, it looks great. Looks great.
Now he's off. Anyway,
I can see him. He's hanging off of your hand. So that's pretty awesome. So yeah, you got some sand cockroaches. And then we also have the Cryptoperseidae. This is the group of cockroaches that is most closely related to termites. They're like the brown hooded roach. They eat wood, they digest wood, and with the aid of certain protozoans in its digestive tract, that's how it is able to eat the wood. Otherwise they don't really eat wood. And then you have the Noctocolidae, which is about 25 species of the cave dwelling cockroaches. So you've got the Gerlach roach, or Noctocoli geralchi. It's an endangered species native to Seychelles in Central Africa. And so it's pretty fascinating. But yeah, I know there's a couple of cave dwelling species that are actually extinct in the wild, and you can pretty much only find them in the pet trade and the pet hobby. So sad times, but you know, the cave dwelling species of roaches are highly adaptive usually to one cave in specific. So, you know, there could be other species of cave dwellers that we don't even realize. But again, it just speaks to like the resilience and the durability of these cockroaches that could live pretty much anywhere on Earth. Obviously, except for the Arctics, like, you know, maybe not so much Canada or, you know, Norway and all that. I don't know. But I also found a really cool legend from India about, it's called The Woman Who Killed a Cockroach. And it's a cool legend. I like it. It's, you know, so if you're down, I'm, you know, when I first read it, it was kind of long, but it has a good message. So we'll go with that. So there was a woman who lived a pure and holy life. She woke up early every day. She spent a couple of hours in the morning meditating in prayer and thought. She really thought of herself as pure, gentle, humble, and holy. But she also saw herself as better than other people because of her pureness, right? So one morning when it was still dark, she went to the bathroom and accidentally stepped on a cockroach. It put her into a frenzy and a dilemma because she suddenly realized that she was responsible for a death, and she couldn't meditate that morning because it had got to her so badly, right? And then she tried to concentrate, she tried to clear her mind, she tried to chant, but she was just restless. So she went back to the bathroom, picked up the cockroach, covered it with some paper, and threw it out of her house. And as she was doing that, she saw a woman who was sweeping the road. The holy woman called to the sweeper, "Every day you commit so many sins. Have you ever thought about this?" Because she's saying that she committed so many sins because as she's sweeping, she's also sweeping other insects like ants and, you know, stuff like that. So she's like killing all these insects, right? And so the sweeping woman said, "Sister, I do not wish to kill these ants, but I cannot help it. It is my job to sweep the road, and in the process, many ants and insects die. That's why I pray in my heart that my faults are..." Sorry. Oh my gosh. Okay. "So that's why I pray in my heart that my faults are as many as the drops of water in an ocean. Have mercy, O Lord. Shower your grace and show this and save this drowning one." And the holy woman said, "Well, you've committed so many sins, and still you are not worried. I have killed just one roach, and I feel so miserable." Then the sweeper says, "Well, you can give me the dead roach, and I will bear the sin of killing it." So the holy woman agreed and put the roach in the garbage bin of the sweeping lady, and then went back home lighthearted and happy, and she felt great, right? But both women, as you would have it, like as fate would have it, both women went to bed that night and died. But the woman who thought she was pure and holy and, you know, better than everybody, was actually taken to hell, and the sweeper woman was taken to heaven. So the holy woman was egocentric, and she protested, "I am pure, I committed no sin," and, you know, prayed all the time. I was constantly, you know, righteous. But because she was egotistical about it, because she did it because it gave her some sort of clout or, you know, status, she did it as a status symbol, she went to hell. Whereas the sweeping woman, because she was humble and she always kept it in her heart that I don't mean to do these things, but it's part of what I'm doing, she always kept it in her heart, and always she accepted the fact that she was going to sin in some capacity. And so she trusted and had faith in the grace of God that she would be forgiven. And that's why she went to heaven. So essentially the lesson is that there is no greater gift than the grace of God and his mercy. So the sweeper was humble. She prayed in her heart for God's forgiveness. And yeah. So the message is, you know, don't do the good, pure things just because it elevates, you know, you think that it elevates your status among other people. Do those things because it's right within your heart to do them, if that makes sense.
So what the thing is, stop posting on Instagram.
Right?
I did something great today. Look at me. I'm wonderful.
Right. Guys. Right, right.
There's so many of them on Facebook, on YouTube, on Instagram.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, look at me. I'm brilliant. And they're only doing them things to get attention.
Right. And that's actually
doing it because they love doing it. I do this job because I love doing it, not because I want to make money. So I feel that I'm doing the right thing for the right reason.
Yeah.
You know,
it's within your heart to do that. And that's.
You could actually rewrite that for modern day, I think.
I think so too. Yeah.
Social media rather than a cockroach, you know, a homeless man and a cockroach, you know, you could. That sounds horrible, doesn't it? you can interchange a homeless man and a cockroach. Yes. I hope nobody misquotes me on that one. Yeah,
but
you know what I'm saying? You could replace that and say, look, here's this guy giving him $50, whatever that is, and videoing it and putting it on Facebook or YouTube. That's the same premise, I think. So, yeah.
I agree. I mean, a lot of people see, you know, and I feel like I can relate this story really well to cockroaches and kind of how their life cycle and what they do, you know, because a lot of people, we see them as pests. We see, you know, we detest them. We hate them. We think that they're dirty and smelly and awful. And, you know, a lot of people believe that if you find cockroaches in your house, it means that you're not a good housekeeper, which is not actually very accurate, because if you find a cockroach in your house, it just means they found, like, you know, other bugs, other dead bugs, or they found, you know, a food source, some kind of food source. So to be completely honest, like, cockroaches absolutely serve a pretty big purpose in our world, just like beetles, you know. A lot of beetles that are they're composters. So basically they eat the stuff that is just decaying and dead and doesn't really have any use anyway. And so they're eating that, and then they're replenishing the soil as they do it. And then they are also, you know, a food source for birds and as I said before, you know, small mammals and reptiles and stuff like that. So They actually serve a pretty decent purpose. So I wanna just say out there, you know, for people out there, like, if you see a cockroach, let it be. If you see it in your house, I mean, I understand, like, picking it up and putting it outside, like, that's one thing or whatever. But try not to kill them, because they actually are doing good things for you. So, yeah, I don't know.
Do you know what does kill them? Peanut butter.
Peanut butter?
Peanut butter kills cockroaches, yeah.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Try it. It does, no.
Well, if I find a little cockroach in the wild or something, I'll try it with some peanut butter. But I'll feel bad about it, because...
we can't feel bad about it, personally. I mean, look, between the two of us, neither of us are believers. So we don't have to, you know, for the moral of that story. So we don't have to feel bad about it. And secondly, we both keep arthropods that eat cockroaches.
True.
We have to feed cockroaches to them every day. So
it's true.
We are past feeling bad about killing a cockroach.
I agree. I do on some level have a belief. I believe in a higher power. I don't really believe so much in like a god or a deity. I believe that we are all connected into that higher power. So we're all, you know, we're all a part of it, if you will. I think that, you know, life is the higher power. Does that make sense at all?
Yes. Just atoms doing their thing.
Like, we're
and eventually you can't destroy an atom, so whatever we're made of, we're gone, it will go into something else anyway. So
exactly, it's all a cycle. I mean, even the universe and our solar system has its own cycle. I mean, you don't even know, like, if you narrow down into like underneath your big toenail, there could be an entire, you know, universe and world inside your toenail that you have no idea even exists. And yes, I am talking about microbiology, like the bacterium and stuff like that. That's a whole universe. It's a whole system all on its own, and you don't even realize that it exists. I just believe that everything is connected. And so, I do feel guilty a little bit when I kill a cockroach. Now, I know that feeding cockroaches and crickets to my tarantulas, that's just the nature of things. And that's how it goes. Like, that's, you know, I like my tarantulas. I love them. I want them to stay alive. So I need to feed them. It's part of caring about them. But that's not to say that I don't also care about those crickets and that I don't also care about the roaches and stuff that I am feeding, because their life also has value. So
I keep all my roaches and all my feeders in bioactive stuff, because I like to give them the life they would have in the wild.
In the wild, yeah.
Rather than keeping them like in egg cartons and just feeding them on one thing, you know. So I prefer to give them that. And, you know, now and again, some of them are unlucky.
You know? Sure. Yeah.
But in the wilds, now and again, some of them are unlucky.
I agree.
Yeah,
it's like true.
Spiders and snakes and, you know, frogs, birds. You know, that's generally what they are there for. They're just food. Everything is food at some point.
Everybody is everybody's food. That's how it is.
Yeah.
Every creature is food for another creature somewhere in the, you know what I mean? Bugs get eaten by birds, and birds get eaten by snakes, and snakes get eaten by leopards, and leopards they get eaten when they die. By the bugs and the birds. By the bugs. But see how it's a cycle? So the leopard eats all the things, and then when the leopard dies, all the things eat the leopard. So full circle.
Down a strange line there.
I really did. Yeah, but you know what?
Leopard now. It's a weird line you went down. You know, it would have been easier if it started with fish.
You know, I did. I skipped fish.
Let's pick that one. That one's difficult.
It's a good. I feel like that legend has a good message, though. It's like, just because it's a cockroach doesn't mean that you're better than it, you know?
It's a moral standing. It doesn't have to be religious. It can be a moral, a moral dilemma.
Yeah, exactly. Moral dilemma. I agree.
Be a good person, basically.
Right?
Don't be a good person for show, you know?
Yeah. Don't think that you're better than somebody else just because you're doing the good things or whatever. It doesn't make you better.
Well,
that's a lesson I think a lot of people could learn.
Days, isn't it?
Well, it was interesting because there were a couple of myths and legends that I found involving cockroaches. But the weirdest thing about it was that none of them actually had much to do with a cockroach. There just happened to be a cockroach in the story. So I picked this one because I felt that it was relevant. Like, I felt like it was the most relevant to a cockroach's life than the others. The others were kind of odd. And I honestly didn't really understand one of them. I was just like, what on earth did I just read? You know, so I didn't want that one, you know.
I have been there because obviously when I research my books and whatnot, I always put myths at the end. In the last chapter, I always put something on myths and legends. And I've gone through so many myths and legends on certain things. And I read them all. And some of them just, I just think like, do I need to be in the 10th century to understand what this is talking about? Because it just, fine, that's what you think. And I push it aside. It's absolute nonsense. So yeah, I do understand what you mean. I do.
Yeah.
I really, 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 truly do.
I mean, I think that some stories just don't age well. You know what I mean?
No, not at all.
Yeah,
I can understand why when you see them. I see a lot of memes and like inspirational stuff on the social media.
Yeah,
and as I've studied the past and other things,
mm-hmm.
I can actually relate to them and look at them and say, okay, that was from the Mongols, you know what I mean, or something like that, or that's
sure.
Chinese province from it's old Chinese proverb from thousands of years ago or something, and they've just dragged it up and give it a modern spin,
right?
Otherwise it's just absolute nonsense.
But a lot of them, you know, I feel like a lot of some of the oldest teachings are really, they're very relevant even now. Like a lot of the works in the Buddha and what the Buddha taught, you know, it's still very relevant. You know, I mean, I know if you're not Buddhist, that's okay. I'm just saying, take a look at that book, because there's a lot of really great wisdom in it that definitely still is very relevant today. And I, you know, I think that's really true for cockroaches, man. They're resilient. They're, you know, determined. They will survive at, you know, above all else, they survive.
If you get over the fact that something is a cockroach,
mm-hmm.
while you're looking at it, you can actually see which ones are pretty then.
I agree.
Like the one I've just shown you there was the headlight roach, and you've got the question mark, you've got the dominoes, you've got the banana roach. They're all roaches. But if you just pause for a second and put in your mind that they're not roaches, they're beetles.
Yeah.
You'll find yourself saying, that's pretty. But as soon as you say to yourself, that's a cockroach, it's ugly. You'd be drummed into your head from being very small that cockroaches are awful. And that's
I agree. I mean, I think even the word cockroach comes with kind of those negative connotations. Like, we just see it as something that's super negative. I mean, I've heard people use cockroach as an insult to insult somebody else, and I'm like, don't insult the cockroach. What are you talking about?
Exactly, you know, yeah, you know what I mean?
And same thing with snakes. Like, I've, you know, there's a lot of kind of idioms in English, you know, where you might call somebody, oh, they're a snake, and I'm like, well, don't insult the snake like that, because the snake didn't do anything to deserve that bad, you know what I mean, that bad reputation. That's not cool. Snakes are doing us a favor. They're taking care of the rodent populations, and you know what I mean. Like, what are you talking about? A snake? Get out of here!
But most cockroaches. The most useful.
I agree.
That, you know, the ones we don't like the snakes, the scorpions, that you know, mm-hmm. spiders. Spiders get a really bad rep anyway. They always have done. And yeah. You know, your cockroaches, your isopods, they all do this wonderful job at keeping us pest-free.
Right.
If it wasn't for them, if you take it, you need to sit down in a chair, close your eyes, and imagine the world of what would happen really deeply if you take one of them out of the equation.
Right.
And you can see for yourself what would happen. And think about everything. Like all the leaves that pile up, all the dead mm-hmm. wood that would pile up, all the dead insects and dead bodies of things would pile up.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and then all the disease would be created by those dead bodies.
Right.
And then that makes it all, just some things, like there's loads more than that, but just some things would make a massive difference to how we live, or even if we could live.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's worth
just sitting back and thinking, I don't like cockroaches, but if I took them all away, and then you get it. It's the same with it's the mosquito dilemma.
Yeah.
Like if we eradicated the mosquito, people go, oh, yeah, that's a great thing. No more malaria, no more tsetse, no more this, no more that. Tsetse, never mind, ignore that one.
But that would be terrible for A, dragonflies, and B, bats, because then they wouldn't have a food source so much anymore.
Fish, cattle, bats, birds.
Right.
There's loads of things that eat mosquitoes, and that would be an absolute disaster to the ecosystem if you took away mosquitoes. It's
right.
Something you could not mess with. You know, cure the disease by all means. Don't blame the messenger. You know,
I agree.
That's my view on it. Don't blame the messenger.
Yeah.
If something gives you some kind of disease, just cure the disease. Don't, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Don't murder it.
Everything has a purpose. Everything has a job. Even we do. I mean, people are weird.
To be honest,
honestly,
if you really sit back and think about what I just said a minute ago, I can't think what we do. I can't think what use humans are to the planet and to the ecosystem and to the food chain. I don't know what we bring to the table. I really do not. We do nothing.
I think we used to, but I think so much anymore. I don't think we do. I think before we helped control the populations of predators so that the predators don't predate too much on, you know, the herbivores and omnivores and stuff. But now I agree with you. Like when COVID came around and there was that huge shutdown, like all throughout the world, did you see the amount of pollution that just disappeared within that 2 weeks? It only took 2 weeks or like a month or whatever for us to stop driving around, stop leaving our houses, stop doing all those things. And everything was like, oh, we're fixing. Yay. And then we come back out and everything's crap again.
Well, we saw things in the garden that we'd never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And I've lived in this particular area for 50 years. And I saw things in the garden during COVID that I've never seen here.
Wow.
That I've had to go out to the countryside to see before. I've seen them in our garden at numerous occasions during COVID. And now we don't see them anymore again.
No, right?
It's a human problem. We are the actual parasite.
We're the bacterium on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
So, okay. I think we're supposed to be guardians. We're supposed to help the earth flourish and to continue, you know, doing what it does. But I think we got too smart for our own good or something. I don't know. The aliens came down and meddled. There's a few conspiracies of that.
Well, they need to come down again and do some more meddling.
Okay. That's what I think. All right, so we're gonna do our shameless plug. I'm sure you've got some cool stuff going on this week, Simon. What you got going on?
Well, as you probably noticed, I think you saw her earlier. We have a baby squirrel.
A baby squirrel, yes.
So she's making it very complicated and interesting. So I still got to do what I do before, but now we have a baby squirrel that is now fast asleep in my
wife's
bra. Oh,
he's so cute, though.
She's
so cute.
She's still asleep. So I'll post a few videos of her. I'm not going to take over the channel with the squirrel.
It's no longer the mantis garden. It's the squirrel garden.
It is very tempting. It is very tempting. It's like, but Now, I'm not going to do that because, you know, my passion is the books.
Of course.
But, you know, mammals and birds, yeah, we've had a few.
Love them all.
We're quite happy to help if they require it.
Of course.
But yeah, it's I'll possibly do some stuff. But I've got so many eggs. I'll call them eggs. It's easier.
Yeah.
For mantis and other things that I've not been doing very much, to be honest, apart from like selling.
Okay.
So yeah, that's what I'm doing. I've got too many spiders as well. So if anyone wants spiders, please, cheap spiders, buy them. It's okay.
Come on. Cheap spiders. Okay. You know, yeah, get in touch with Simon for sure. Okay. okay, so my shameless plug this weekend is the All-American Plant and Reptile Expo here in Castle Rock, Colorado at the Douglas County Fairgrounds. I will be there. I have a t-shirt, obviously, because I went to the first one that there was. I think that they only do a few locations, but it's such a cool expo. It's well organized. The vendors, everybody says they absolutely love this expo. They love the people who do it. And they, of course, have all kinds of cool inverts and plants and reptiles. So it's definitely a show worth going to. It's worth the drive.
Are we to expect a video?
Yeah, I'm going to try and take some footage for sure, because I think that you know, I think this expo definitely deserves the spotlight on my channel a little bit. So yeah, be expecting a couple of videos. I've got, again, I actually have my Pamphobetus species Macaulay, or Pamphobetus Macaulay, has a freaking mold outbreak in his or her enclosure. So I need to like take him out and redo that whole enclosure. So I'm not sure if I want to film it, because, you know, I'm afraid of the mold, but I will probably film it and show you how I clean everything and all that. I've mold? Also, huh?
Is it white mold in the substrate?
Yeah, it's just white mold, you know.
All right. Yeah, it's nothing. No.
Yeah. And I did release like isopods into the enclosure thinking, oh, the isopods will take care of it. I'm pretty sure that my Macaulay ate all of the isopods. So, I can't stop a tarantula from doing what it's going to do. And so I'm pretty sure she decided that, oh, you're an invader. I'm going to eat you. So now there's a mold issue. And so I've got to take care of that. So be expecting, you know, a video about the mold and like how to clean up the enclosure and make sure the mold doesn't come back. Because I think I have another one that has a little bit of mold, but not as bad as this one. And then I've got some juvenile tarantulas that I also need to put in bigger enclosures. So be expecting that. So my son left my house, and he is in Minnesota now, you know, doing his thing, which is cool. And as you guys know, I'm a mom. Okay. We do mom stuff. And now that my son is not here, I'm like, I don't know what to do with myself a little bit. So, you know, I'm just kind of going through this weird empty nester thing. That's not to say that he won't come back, but you know, he's about to be 18 in October. I mean, he's getting to be a man, and it was only a matter of time that he flew the coop. And you know, I hope I'm not aging myself a whole lot, but yeah, I'm older than a lot of you might think I am. But in any case, my kiddo is doing his thing, and I did a good job, because that's what we do as moms. We want them to go and do their thing and be able to take care of themselves and to be able to, you know, provide for themselves and do all these things. So I did a good job, but I miss him. So if you've noticed that I haven't really had a whole lot of videos on my channel lately, that's why. It's because I'm over here going, oh, I miss my kiddo. You know, I have less to do I have less to clean. I have, you know what I'm saying? So it's a thing. But I also have Salmopis Erminia baby slings. I believe they're all like third instar, fourth instar. They're all around that area. So if you are in the Denver, Colorado area, and you maybe you want to trade, or if you just want a couple of slings, send me a message, hit me up. I'm on the Colorado Arachnid Club. You can find me on Facebook, obviously here on YouTube. I am happy to give you some slings. But I think that's all I've got. The empty nester. Did you go through an empty nester phase as well?
No,
Like,
we went through a phase of where don't let the door hit you on the way out. Because when you leave, you've got more room to put bugs.
yeah, well, I mean, I've got an empty room that I've got to clean
It's a
out,
win-win.
and I'm probably gonna put all the tarantulas in that room instead of my living room.
Yeah, I'm
So,
saying it's a win-win. Trust
yeah,
me,
I mean it's a
sometimes the idea,
win. But
it's a great thing for me to
I
say.
miss my kid.
My son is now 35. He just lives a few houses away. And my daughter doesn't live that far away either. I mean, like just a few more houses away. So, so there's my grandchildren and my daughter. I haven't felt the empty nester thing because
Oh, well,
it's
that's
still
good.
here, really.
Nice. Okay, good.
My son was here this afternoon, all afternoon. He just finished work, come around and said, "Do you want any help feeding the animals?" He's like, "Yeah,
Well, and
sure."
it's just like what Lily just said, that they are here all the time.
Yeah.
Lucky. Mine's a whole two states away. Yeah, okay. So mine's not down the street. It's a 12-hour drive from where I'm at, so but in any case, that's all we've got for you guys today. Thanks so much for watching and tuning in, and I really hope that Simon and I could enlighten you on cockroaches, and hopefully you don't see them quite as negatively as they did before. So yeah, we'll see you guys real soon, and yeah, thanks again for watching. We love you all. Thanks, Simon.
Cheers. See you later.